Live from the ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM studios, this is the Gregeth and Hooks Show. Call the show 402-466-3776. Your teams, your town, your show. Here are your hosts, Nick Gregeth and Bill Hooks.
All right, let's do this. Happy Monday. Welcome into Gregeth and Hooks on Lincoln Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480. I am Nick Gregeth. He's Bill Hooks. Baby Wipes back in the house. Willie J back from vacation. We got a big show lined up for you guys. Mike Schaefer, 247sports.com, avid Nebraska basketball fan, knows his stuff, obviously, about recruiting. Mm-hmm. He'll be joining the show here coming up at 10:15. Excited to talk with him about the end of the Nebraska basketball season. That's going to be a big topic for us today, as a lot of people, most in the media, waiting to find out when it is. We'll get the official word about Tim Miles' future. I think most expect that he will get axed here sometime in the next probably 24 hours, yep, somewhere in there. And then it'll be, all right, when and how do you go out to saying that Fred Hoiberg is now the new coach at Nebraska? What's the best time to do it? I think best exposure possible when you're making a splash hire like that is the way that Nebraska needs to go. Any fears left, you think, for people about him going to Iowa State with
the jobs
and all that stuff? Everybody's good?
I don't think so. I think we're ahead of the schedule because they just announced, because, you know, we talked about Friday about all the dots. They just announced Avery Johnson was let go at Alabama. So now they're in search.
All I know is when Iowa State lost their game in the tournament, there was a collective groan down at Longwell's of, oh, crap, they've got Nebraska's outlasting Iowa State. This is a bad deal.
Yes, there was.
So we'll see how it goes. Speaking of Longwells, thank you, everybody, for coming out. Baby Wipes, you missed a party, my man. It was so fun down there,
dude.
It was awesome. There was just people everywhere and just coming down, hanging out, talking sports. You know, I'm typical sports fans coming out to chill. And Schmitty was down there. We appreciate him jumping in. DDT came down on Friday.
Nice.
Brett Hooksy, you're third in our local work bracket. That's super good. I just want to shout you out.
I just looked a little bit.
I just want to shout
you out.
I think
it says second.
Does it?
I think so now.
Did you move ahead of JP?
I did.
Ooh. Well, good job, dude.
You and I are tied, right? No, I'm tied with JP.
Come on, bro. You ain't tied with me. I know that.
What are you? Are you first?
Oh, you're damn right.
Oh, shoot.
I know. Terrible for everybody but me.
Yeah.
I am.
It says at the top, just beat Hooksy.
It's second. I'm only, hey. There's
a couple key games coming up on our fantastic brackets.
Couple key games coming up.
Hopefully everybody else's brackets are doing well. I told Schmidt. Schmidt did like the you know, the old whenever you're doing like football pick 'em on the weekends and you have 16 to pick and you go 1-15. If you'd have just flip flopped that, you'd have won the whole thing.
The whole thing. We're going
like right now, Schmidt would be almost perfect if he'd have just flip flopped all of his picks.
Yeah, he's way down there.
It'll happen. Is he? What percentile is he in?
Does it say?
He might have moved up.
He's in. Tied for eighth with the suit right now.
What's his percentile for ESPN?
25.
Ouch!
25.
Dang it. How's Willie J doing? Is he in there?
Willie J, there it is. It says Baby Wipes. I think he's 25 as well.
You know what's
25%.
Hey, look, dude, it's just frustrating. This year, I thought, like Hook said, it was very, there's a reason why Hooks and I are doing well, because we both said this is a real top-heavy
tournament.
And then also, if you were listening, who was it? Jay Billis, maybe? He was talking about the teams that got in as at-large bids. Mm-hmm. And really, outside of what, two of them, no one really did anything.
Nope.
There wasn't a lot of teams. Nope. And some of them, I thought, were kind of obvious, the ones that did do something. Yep. Like Oregon, because of the way they've been playing and their coaching and everything that's going on.
If you look, minus Oregon right now, Saturday, Sunday, chalk.
Well,
chalk.
And also, Oregon had it perfect because they lined up, and you had Irvine make their move. So then it lined up really nicely for them to be able to move ahead there. So when the tournament kind of laid out, you can kind of build that path.
Yep.
I was sad. Belmont was the big whiff that I had over the weekend. Like, that was the one that's cost me from being
almost close, perfect.
Yeah, they actually should have won that game.
Yeah, it was close.
But Belmont was the one that I ended up whiffing on. I had them moving on to the Sweet 16, but obviously they lost their first game.
Man,
it should be good. How about that Duke ending?
Oh,
my gosh. God, man.
Give credit. Man, UCF, how well did they? Man, just never back down.
Well, coached.
I was telling you before the show started, the storylines of that thing were incredible. You had Taco Fall, Zion, the conversations they've had, the respect there.
Yeah.
Then you had Coach K. You had Johnny Dawkins, former player. Dawkins' son on that
almost
squad.
Almost tips that ball in.
Almost tips that ball. But he had 32.
They were ungodly athletic, by the way.
They were.
UCF. Like, we have some really good players here at Nebraska, right? We have some guys that will go on to have some fantastic pro careers and those kind of things. And maybe because of their skill sets, they play a different manner. But, like, my God, Roby might be the only dude that's as athletic as the guys that were on that UCF team.
I think you're probably close, right?
I mean, that was... Sure. That play, how high in the air he was, there's only one dude on our team that's making the play like Dawkins' kid almost did.
That's Roby.
And that's Roby. Like, they're just their level of athleticism from that UCF team.
Incredible.
Even the backup center for Taco Fall.
Oh, he was a beast, wasn't he?
He's going to be good.
He's going to be really good down
but,
there.
But, no, great. So, another thing, too, because we're going to get to talking a lot of Nebraska basketball, and we're going to talk about the kind of the way the game went down, and we'll talk about time frame and all that kind of stuff for 10 miles, what to expect here, what we've still been hearing that's going on, and all that. But, and then also I have kind of like a... I have a thought on this whole... Twitter has been an interesting, emotional, crazy universe for Nebraska basketball fans over the last, like, 2 weeks. Some radio hosts. Like, some of these radio hosts in this state are all in their feelings right now.
Oh, it's nostalgia.
Like, dude.
It's like right now, it's like...
Like, I'm joking about making statues. I think these dudes really wanted statues. Like, they want to rename that court 10 Miles Court on his way out to honor the great 10 Miles on his way out the door. But the coaching that was involved by Dawkins in that game, he scouted Duke.
And he knew him.
He kind of showed, in my opinion, Johnny Dawkins has shown, here's how you can attack Duke. Now, they weren't... multi enough to be able to do enough stuff, obviously, but they still almost pulled it off. But that high pick and roll with Taco Fall that they were running,
masterful.
It was great. And they just stuck with it. They said, until they stop it, we're going to do this. And then defensively, the way they said, look, you have two guys that we're going to double team every time they touch the ball. And we're going to leave this dude over here in the corner wide open.
Leave Trey Jones wide
open. And
if
that guy can make it, then we will live with that.
Yep. And they
was a great game plan.
And Duke, I mean, by the way, good game for them, uncharacteristically. They hit 10 threes in the game and shot 40%. That's 10 above their yearly average.
Well, but the thing is, there's a reason for it, because they said, you guys suck at three-point shooting.
Let you shoot them.
You can shoot them. And if you beat us, then you did it. But it'll also allow what they wanted to do offensively to get going, because you get the rebounds, you get out, you can get running, you can do all those things. I think they realize, like, as athletic as Duke is, UCF is kind of a raw athletic team where they like to get out and really go. They're more of like an AAU squad at times.
Absolutely.
So I just thought the game
plan was
brilliant.
That was a fun game to watch.
My God, it was fun.
That was fun, but also, like I said, UCF didn't care. They never backed down. They just kept going, even though there were times that game was about to get blown open.
If you're Johnny Dawkins, is it a lump of coal in your kid's stocking every time you see him? Remember when you couldn't tip that ball in, kid? How many times in your life did I work on that with you?
Oh, man, what if they were turning there together?
Way to let me down.
He goes to throw something in the trash, and it rims out, and he goes,
Seen that before
one. Nice job, kid.
Yep. Yeah, boy.
Here we go again.
Oh, by the way, too, before we get into it, the Izzo stuff. Did you guys see the Izzo stuff?
Yes.
How glorious was all that?
I think it's awesome.
Izzo light. If you didn't see it, Izzo, there's a video of him, and he is just lighting his player on fire as he leaves the court. I mean, screaming at him. Mm-hmm. He's like, the photos, because he's so animated. And by the way, they were up by like 18 at the time. Mm-hmm. The photos of it, still frame photos, almost look like he's going to punch him.
Yeah.
Players are coming over and like trying to keep him, you know, to calm down a little bit, whatever.
Even in the huddle. It kept going in the huddle.
So did you see, too, people were saying, hey, man, we don't know what that kid said to Izzo to get him to react like that, too, once he got in the huddle. And did you see what Scott Van Pelt had to say about it?
Yeah, I loved it. Every bit of it.
I loved it.
Spot on.
Basically said everybody needs to quit overreacting and telling other people how to handle it.
It's not even their business,
right,
kind of deal.
They don't have experience in it.
Did you see the next game? They played Minnesota and beat him. Did you see his comments after that?
Yes.
They asked him about, what'd you say at halftime or blah, blah, blah. He goes, well, we all got together, kind of hugged each other and said, you know what, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
We'll try better next time.
You know, we're not rebounding right now, but if you guys would want to maybe start rebounding,
it'll help.
It could help. And then we hugged again.
Yeah, we just love each other.
And let him meditate.
Yeah, we're good.
You saw my tweet, right? Yeah. I would have, like, yes, we want Izzo to, like, welcome the kid over. I think we should stop the game, let the kid take a little nap on a pillow. Knees are crying to it a little bit. It'll be fine.
Call his mom down.
Yeah, see if his mommy can come down and rub his back while he takes a quick nap.
And then when he's ready.
And when he's ready.
You just walk. Don't ask me. Just go back in.
If he wants to.
If he wants to.
Yeah.
If you're feeling that you're good, if just he, come on.
But winning doesn't matter, so you know, whatever.
Izzo's a national treasure, by the way.
Yes,
to me.
He is.
I got nothing wrong with what he's done.
No.
With those kids. And then even to see the kid comes back, he's like, he goes, what did he say? Something like, this is what, we knew who Coach was. We love Coach. This is what we signed up for, me and my family. We knew what we're getting into.
If anybody trying to do the Bo Pelini parallels to this thing, or pick any other coach that has like Knight and how he like strangled the kid and all that stuff. Anybody trying to pull those things onto a parallel to this, just stop. You're reaching.
Yeah, it's not even close.
You're reaching. If you've actually played sports, you'd be able to see Bo Pelini lighten up Adi Kunalik after a guy caught a ball and ran it back 80 yards and then benching his best kicker and screaming at him and telling him how he sucks and all that stuff. Very different than Izzo walking up, yelling at that kid, getting his head right and running him back out there and then watching him execute.
Yeah.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very different.
Absolutely. Not even close. Not even close.
So just save your takes. I don't need them.
Nope.
That's not interested. Husker game. What'd you think of the game itself? What'd you guys think?
Oh man, I'm gonna say this. One, to me, in the first half of that game, it looked like to me that fatigue had finally set in with that basketball team.
Yeah,
it just did. It looked like it did. You could see they were trying really hard. Palmer had no lift on his shot. We just looked outmatched. They were more athletic than we were. We just looked beat. To me, that was what I saw. You had great effort from Borkart.
Oh,
great
effort
from Thor.
Yep.
True Blood gave his effort. You had Roby. Roby's fouls were stupid again, like they normally are. They just looked tired. They looked tired, looked fatigued, like everything going on, maybe the games and the minutes had finally caught up with that basketball team.
Yeah, it's so fun to watch a team of underdogs like that achieve, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's while we like to call the guys the big three, the, you know, Thor and Tanner and Johnny, obviously your team's ran by your studs. And they just finally ran out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately there wasn't a lot. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think there was many buttons there for Miles to try to push to be able to get that to succeed.
No.
Can I say something? I wish they would have won. And I would love to have seen them go beat Creighton. But I'm telling you right now, Nebraska was walking into a situation where Creighton was going to try to drop as many points as they possibly could.
They would have. Absolutely would have.
They would have. I mean, I'm talking like if they were possible to do a 30-point butt-kicking.
They would have done it.
And like wave Miles off into the sunset by demolishing him.
I'm glad they didn't get that
I'm
chance.
I'm glad it did not happen. I'm glad that chance did not happen because it would have been – that would have been bad.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell how these guys being, there were 65 shots in the game, 44 came from two guys.
Yeah.
They're just beat.
Well, and then obviously Roby getting a DOS boot early in the second half.
He was perfect.
Help.
He was 2 of 2.
What do you think his, well, we'll get to the players' futures here coming up. Timeline, fellas, what's our guess? Are we hedging bets? What do we think is about to happen here? Where are we at?
To me, I think it's tomorrow. Obviously, I think it's you might hear some rumblings tonight, but I think it'll be official tomorrow. The team stayed in Fort Worth last night based on the timing of the game. How late it was, they might not be. They're probably not back yet. I think it's gonna be some rumblings throughout the day. Official tomorrow, and then we'll have a little fun after that with the timing on the next hire.
I think it's today.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think they're going to try to make that move as quick as possible just so they can reel in their big fish. I mean, Willie J, last week, you were so lucky to be on vacation. All the different reports coming out about, does Fred have a contract yet? Does he not?
Yeah.
Depending on who it was, if it was one of Miles' friends, they were saying he's already got everything all done.
Oh,
if it was someone
and they're
who
doing him wrong,
right? And
they're
if
doing
it was,
him wrong,
yeah. And if it was someone else's friend, then they don't have anything in place. And it just, I can tell you, everything has been like signed, sealed, and done a little before next week or last week was when they got everything finalized.
Wow.
They were just waiting. And credit the team for not quitting. Like, you know, the hard work and the play. And for a season, can I say this about the season? Tell me if you guys agree with this. For a year that ultimately, let's not all forget, I mean, we massively underachieved this year, right?
Beyond.
But, because, I mean, we finished 13th in the conference. Bill picked him to win. I picked him to go to the Sweet 16. We also outlined what could happen and go wrong. And we were, the only thing we got right was when we said, gosh, in a horrible world, these are the things that'll go wrong.
Yeah, we picked him
all
right.
And we got that horribly bad, which sucks. But the way it ended, though, with Tanner getting a lot better at the very end of the season, Borkart, he played his butt off, but True Blood going out there and getting to play and being a fun conversation, mm-hmm. that was kind of a national deal. And then, to be honest with you, I thought this last 2 weeks was the best we saw out of those big three main players in Roby, Watson, and Palmer.
Yeah.
They looked great.
Yeah.
They were great.
Inspired.
They were, I don't know.
I think
or
they
was
were.
It because they didn't have to pass? Like, they didn't have to worry about Thomas Allen's nine shots a game. They didn't have to worry about getting the ball over to...
I just wish they'd have played like that, with that urgency all year long. Somehow, the lack of having all the talent around them increased the urgency. But there should have been urgency earlier.
Should Bill Moos have hired Fred Hoiberg back in January?
No.
And then they would have won the championship?
No, I'm just saying that there would have been a little more urgency earlier.
That's where the urgency came from.
No, I think it was maybe, possibly
a
lot of
it. They were like basically major league. They probably had a big picture of Moose, and they just kept taking clothes off of it. Oh, gross.
Oh, boy, good.
What if that's what was happening, though?
They probably took the drink out of his hand.
No, you ain't never going to get that. unless it's empty. Need another one.
Ching, 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 ching.
I think the timeline today or tomorrow, somewhere in there, and then... When is the best time for you with Hoiberg? Would you wait till Sunday?
No.
Or would you do it Thursday?
Thursday.
What do you guys think?
Right out of the gate, Thursday, somewhere close to the pregame show or during that game of the Sweet 16. I'd go right at it breaking news in the middle of one of those shows.
You want it to have as big of a splash as possible.
It'll be a big splash. If they did that, and again, you have to. I think you want to make a national presence of yourself, and that's the time to do it because there's going to be, how much basketball is going to be watched again on Thursday and Friday?
Oh, yeah.
A ton.
In the evenings?
In the evenings, absolutely. I think if it's a talked about topic, it's a big deal. That's my personal opinion.
Are you guys surprised with how much, I don't know. Fanfare is not the right word. Like, it's almost like he died. Or, like, Miles doesn't deserve to be fired from the people on Twitter. Like I said, there's some radio hosts that are opining, like, we just lost the greatest coach in the history of the world. Like, I don't know. Are you surprised at all that? It got a little crazy.
I'm confused by it. I'm confused by...
A month ago, they wanted to kill him.
January, they wanted to, like, this was the... We're over. We're done. It's the worst we've ever seen. And then, all of a sudden, you're seeing timelines of, like, reminiscing photos of... this and that and what a great guy he is and like let's all gather down at the quad and hang out and like get candles and
let's do them like do chants and try to get him to keep him.
You can do it. Like this is
Yeah.
Let's pass the collection around.
It was kinda like this. Willie J, do you remember when Doc Sadler got fired?
Yeah.
It was a lot like this too then. Like people were just like, oh, but he's such a good dude, and we love him, and you know all these things. I mean, he's got a higher winning percentage, Doc did, than Tim. You know, like, I don't know. Like, it's weird how this Tim Miles thing has kind of, it's come back into a weird combination of Bo Pelini and Doc Sadler for me, and how both those guys went. Like Bo Pelini tried sabotaging everything on his way out the door. Tim Miles, in his own, like, Ned Flanders-esque way, did everything he could. I actually think it was more conniving. Like, Bo was just a big, dumb animal yelling curse words at people. Tim Miles was actually, like, strategically calling people and saying, hey, you should report this.
Yeah.
You know, like Tim Miles was actually like an evil genius in this thing, whereas Bo Pelini was just like, C-word, angry. My players love me.
Yeah.
Fire bad. Like, it was weird. It's weird how all that went down.
It's just weird like this one. It's just like you said, like, all of a sudden, like, there's people wanting to just build the statue regardless right now.
I'm telling you, I would have built a statue.
You would have built it, but now it's like they still want to build it.
Have we got to where we wanted to go? I'm building that damn statue.
There's people still want to put the nice guy statue up down there.
Here's the deal.
And plant like flowers and a garden around it so you just keep it growing.
I don't want to like undervalue what Tim did while he was here. And we're going to talk about this a lot whenever whatever day it is that he eventually does get fired. But like Tim, in my opinion, he showed you that you could recruit at a very high level here. In 2019. I mean, Danny Nee showed that you can recruit at a very high level here with the guys that he brought in, right? I think Tim Miles showed that you could play an entertaining style of basketball compared to what Doc did. I think Tim did a nice job of endearing himself to the fan base. But I don't know. It's a little over the top for me on the...
Yeah, I don't know basketball. Excuse me. Basketball-wise, what happened? I mean, all that stuff is fine and good, and you're
recruiting.
Good recruiting, but I mean, but
I think he showed you could recruit, like you could get big names here.
But then past that, I don't know what I can put anything on.
Can I ask? I have a question because I brought this up earlier on Kicks. So like, Tim was able to first of all, the whole attendance thing is baloney that people keep
anyway.
Yeah, like he keeps getting credit for the attendance thing. Attendance was going to go fine because we volunteered to pay for an arena. Like they could have. You had to get someone other than Doc here because Doc's offense was boring.
Yeah, nobody.
Right?
Well, God, I mean, they left under 12 minutes. They leave it under 16 watching that.
Yes, it was bad. Like, there were some games with Doc where you were, although there were some games with Miles where there was one earlier this year where we had, like, what was it, like 26 points at half or something?
Well, I think, what was our low? Maybe 45 against, like, Wisconsin
or
somebody.
Yeah, it was brutal. But the thing that Tim had in his back pocket that I would say is better, that he had that was an advantage over, say, Collier and Doc, the facilities that we had, you know, like those came when Tim, like they made those as they were hiring Tim.
Mm-hmm. No.
So he had a good advantage on those things.
Well, yeah,
so bringing in the players that he did, I think that helped too, but I don't want to undervalue what Tim Miles did as a
No,
as a
he
recruiter.
Did a lot of good stuff. He did a lot of good stuff, but you got to look further past that, further past the charismatic playing up to the fans and some of the media. And I mean, what's the product look like? And I know you'll probably talk about it in a little bit, but you wrote down some interesting conference finishes amongst coaches that I think is eye-opening. And you look at the X and O's, you look at the development of players, and you look at those things and failing to meet expectations quite a bit at Nebraska.
I don't know. I went and looked up just because I wanted to kind of compare the two. So Doc Sadler, while he was in Nebraska, he was 101-89. Okay.
Over
'cause Tim Miles became the fifth coach, I think, in Nebraska history to finish his career over 500.
Yep.
He was 116-114. So Doc Sadler, 101-89. Here's his conference. Here's how his teams finished in the conference. 7-7-8, 12-7-11. Doc Sadler's.
Big 12.
Yes, Big that's 12 in the right Big 12.
Yep. And then, which was pretty good at the time, too.
Yeah. And then Tim Miles, 10-4. 12, 11, 12, 4, 13 this year. So he had the two seasons finishing in top four in his conference, which is higher than anywhere that Sadler ever got. He also finished at or below three times what Sadler's worst season was. So there's numbers there to look at, too, when you try to... I think overall, though, like when we talk about this tomorrow, I think Miles made this place better than where he found it.
Culturally, I think it was a little bit better, for sure.
How many times do we have to talk about when Sadler left, this team was in deep trouble grade-wise? Like they were
absolutely.
They were in a real bad spot.
They were in a bad spot. That hole was at AAR, whatever that... Yeah, we were not looked upon highly upon that one.
Even if we could earn a tournament bid, we weren't going to get one. Because of how bad it was going.
Well,
so.
Especially like around that time, you'd talk to someone about Nebraska basketball, and what was the first thing they'd say? Oh, they're terrible.
Right.
Right? You talk to someone about Nebraska ball these days, that's not the first thing that comes into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. I think Tim Miles is going to land somewhere like in the Mountain West or something. Be a really good coach. He'll do a great job.
I think his name's being tossed over at Washington State right now.
It is, yeah. He's one of the... He's like one of the two or three names. We were talking about that last week. Because he was still here, obviously, and people were like, well, you know, where's he going to coach next? And I was like, he's one of the top two or three names at Washington State on their
list.
He's
on the list. He's going to... this little run right here, what just happened,
it's going to help him
in the endearment of the national media and things like that, will help him because his name's going to stay prominent in a lot of coaches.
Well, he did a nice job. Tim Miles did a nice job making sure everybody around the country knows why he thinks he didn't succeed here. I mean, like the whole story about not getting his Marine to be able to work with his players. You know, there's a lot of stuff that leaked out that he kind of let people know. So, I mean, it'll help there. The timeline's going to be interesting. I have a feeling Moose is going to try to move as fast as he can. Do you guys think we're going to get one of those comic books from the Omaha World Herald about the hiring of Fred Hoiberg and how it went down? And it'll all start with a month and a half ago, the Minnesota Timberwolves went on a little bit of a run, and Fred Hoiberg all of a sudden didn't have this job to walk into in Minnesota. And then he did a radio show saying, hey, I want to get back into college coaching. That'll be the first chapter.
Yeah. There'll be one.
Come on. In the background, it'll be Moose looking there going, you're going to see it. Which you know.
And you're going to see it.
You know that's what he was talking about. And then Moose's buddy called him up and said, you better get going, Nebraska.
You better get going, Nebraska.
What if that's how that went down?
I am, by the way, can I say, I'm so glad Willie J's back, because if we did that with Neo and he was like,
oh, he would just stare at us.
Nick said that five times. He's like,
no, there was one of them. I asked him to play something for, what was it?
I don't know, but
something.
Just give me something.
And I asked him like seven times on the air in a row. I'm like, go ahead and do it.
You can do it.
You can do it now. Go for it now. And he just kept looking at me. I was like, push that button.
Yeah, I haven't told him about any of this.
You were just like, give me a sounder. Give me a sounder.
I said any sounder.
Any sounder.
I just hit a button. It was like I was on Jeopardy. Yeah. Boop, boop. They were like, it was like Will Ferrell when he's playing Trebek. And he's like, just write down a number. Any number. That's all I need. Yeah. The penis smite ya. Doesn't work, Trebek.
Oh, sideways. Love it.
Gotta be back.
Yeah, back. Full force now,
yes,
baby.
Oh, baby, here we
look
go.
Look out.
Oh, baby.
All right, let's take a quick break. The NCAA tournament was awesome over the weekend. Are you happy? Because technically speaking, I think we have, 14 of the top 16 seeds left. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, sure.
I think it is 14 of the top 16 seeds. Is that what we wanted? Did we not see Cinderella dancing enough over the weekend? I'm curious what you guys think. 402-466-3776. We'll take a quick break back after this.
You're listening to the Gregith and Hooks Show on ESPN Radio, 101.5 FM, 1480 AM.